All right, let's dive into the stuff you sent over. It's about probability and statistics, especially the central limit theorem and
The law of large numbers.
the law of large numbers, right? We've got some Wikipedia articles here on the CLT and
The dominated convergence theorem.
the dominated convergence theorem, okay, and the LLN. So it seems like you're really interested in how random events kind of play out over time.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see how these ideas help us see these predictable patterns,
Right.
even when things seem totally random at
Okay,
first.
so let's start with the central limit theorem. I think I've heard of it, but I'll be honest, it always sounded kind of intimidating. Can you break it down? Like, what is that all about?
Absolutely. The CLT basically tells us that when you take a bunch of random samples from any group,
Okay.
no matter how that group is spread out, the averages of those samples will start to look like a bell curve.
Really? So it doesn't matter what the original data looks like, the
Exactly.
averages will still form that bell curve shape.
Exactly. Think about like rolling a die. Each roll is random, right?
Okay.
But if you roll like a bunch of dice and add up all the numbers,
Yeah.
and you do that over and over and over again,
Right.
those totals will start to form a bell curve shape. And the more dice you
Oh,
roll,
interesting.
the smoother that curve gets.
Okay, I see that. So even though each roll is totally random, the overall pattern of like lots of rolls added together becomes more predictable. Okay. But how does that, I mean, how does that apply to real world situations? Like, what's an example of that?
Well, think about like polling.
Okay.
Imagine you're trying to predict an election. Pollsters will ask a sample of people who they plan to vote for.
Right.
Even if the overall population is divided in all sorts of ways,
Yeah.
the poll results, because they're averages of lots of individual opinions, tend to cluster around some central point
Right.
and form that bell curve shape. That's how they can make predictions about the entire population based on a relatively small sample.
That's a great example. So the central limit theorem can help make sense of like election polls and things like that.
Actually.
Okay. Now you mentioned something about different versions of the central limit theorem. Can you unpack that a little bit? What do you mean by that?
Sure. So, like the dice example is a simplified way to visualize the CLT.
All right.
There are different versions, like the classical CLT or the Lyapunov CLT.
Okay.
They all basically say the same thing, but they have slightly different requirements for how the data needs to behave.
What kind of
For
requirements?
example, the classical CLT works when your data points are independent, meaning like one measurement doesn't affect the next,
Right.
and identically distributed, meaning they all come from the same like type of distribution. But other versions are more flexible. So like the Lyapunov CLT allows for data points that might have different distributions as long as they meet certain criteria about their moments.
Moments. Can you explain that without getting too technical?
Imagine like the bell curve again. Moments describe its shape, like how spread out it is, how tall the peak is, and so on.
Okay.
The Lyapunov CLT just adds some conditions about how those moments behave.
Gotcha. So we're talking about how different versions of the CLT can kind of handle different kinds of data and distributions. But why is it important to have all these different versions?
Because they show us how adaptable the central limit theorem is.
Okay.
It's not like a one-size-fits-all concept.
I see.
Plus, there's even like a multidimensional CLT, which helps analyze situations where multiple things are changing at the same time,
Wow.
like in economics or climate science.
So we're going from simple dice rolls to really complex systems with tons of variables, and it's all connected by this idea of the central limit theorem.
And that's why it's considered so foundational to statistics. It helps us see how randomness, when looked at on a larger scale,
Yeah.
actually leads to predictable patterns.
Across all sorts of different fields.
Exactly.
Okay. There's this idea of convergence that I keep seeing in these articles. You mentioned that the CLT describes an asymptotic distribution. Can you break that down for us?
Asymptotic basically means as something gets larger and larger.
Okay.
In this case, it means the larger our sample size. So, like, the more dice we roll,
Right.
the more people we poll,
Okay.
the closer the distribution of the averages gets to that perfect bell curve.
So the more data we have, the better the central limit theorem works.
It does, but there's this common misconception that any sample size above 30 automatically guarantees a normal distribution.
Oh, okay.
It's not quite that simple.
I see. So it's not like a magic number.
Convergence is a bit more nuanced.
Yeah.
There are ways to measure how quickly the distribution approaches that bell curve,
I see.
And that tells us how reliable the CLT will be in different situations.
So bigger samples are usually better, but it's not like there's a sudden switch where everything becomes perfectly normal.
That's a great way to put it. It's all about understanding the dynamics of how those averages settle into that bell curve shape.
Right. I think you've officially demystified the central limit theorem for me.
Great.
It's fascinating to see how these patterns kind of emerge. Now, how does the law of large numbers fit into all of this? So we've got the CLT showing us how averages kind of behave in large samples with that bell curve magic. What about the law of large numbers? How does that relate to all of this?
The law of large numbers, or LLN, is all about what happens when you repeat an experiment a lot of times.
Okay.
It says that the average of those results will get closer and closer to the true average, what we call the expected value.
Okay. So, like, if I flip a coin a million times,
right,
I should get pretty close to 50% heads and 50% tails?
Exactly. The more times you flip, the closer you'll get to that true probability.
Okay.
That's why casinos can be so confident about making money over time.
Right.
Even though any individual game is random.
Casinos make a lot more sense now. Yeah. But are there different types of LLN, just like there are different versions of the CLT?
There are. We have the weak law of large numbers.
Okay.
And the strong law of large numbers.
Okay.
They both describe this idea of converging to the expected value.
Okay.
But with slightly different mathematical guarantees.
Okay. So both versions kind of point towards that long-term stability.
Right.
But the strong LLN is, well, stronger in how it's proven mathematically.
Right. Think of it like this. The weak LLN says we're likely to get close to the expected value.
Okay.
While the strong LLN says we're practically guaranteed to hit it as our sample size grows infinitely large.
Gotcha.
It's getting into the fine print of probability theory.
Yeah, yeah. Now, these articles also mention the dominated convergence theorem.
Yeah.
What does that have to do with all this?
The dominated convergence theorem, or DCT, is a bit more technical.
Okay.
It's a tool from advanced math that helps make sure that our calculations behave nicely when we're dealing with limits and integrals.
I'm not sure I follow.
Imagine trying to calculate the area under a curve that's changing shape.
Okay.
The DCT gives us conditions where we can swap the order of operations, like finding the area of each slice first and then adding them up.
Right.
Versus adding up the changing heights first and then finding the overall area.
Okay, so it's like a mathematical rule.
Yeah.
That makes sure our steps don't mess up the final input.
Exactly. And the DCT is actually used in the proofs of the CLT and LLN to make sure everything works out mathematically.
So it's a bit behind the scenes.
Right.
But really crucial for these concepts to actually hold up.
Exactly.
One thing that's striking me is that a lot of these examples, like the dice rolls or the coin flips.
Yeah.
They assume that each event is independent of the others. But in real life, things are often connected right now.
You're absolutely right. That's where things get even more interesting. What happens when events aren't independent?
Yeah, like if today's weather influences tomorrow's weather.
Right.
Or if one stock's price affects another, what do we do then?
Well, the classical versions of the CLT and LLN rely on that assumption of independence. When that's not true, we need more sophisticated tools to analyze the data.
So it's like we need a whole new set of rules for the game.
Exactly. There's a whole branch of statistics dedicated to what's called time series data.
Okay.
Where measurements are taken over time, and those dependencies are really important.
Okay.
For example, there's something called autocorrelation.
Autocorrelation. Is that like self-driving correlation?
Huh, not quite. Autocorrelation measures how much a data point is influenced by its own past values.
Oh.
Like, if today's temperature is similar to yesterday's, we'd say there's strong autocorrelation.
So the higher the autocorrelation, the more dependent the events are on each other.
That's a good way to think about it. And when we have high autocorrelation, the classical CLT and LLN might not be accurate anymore. We need to take that dependence into account.
This is starting to feel pretty complex.
Yeah.
Are there ways to kind of adjust the CLT and the LLN for these dependent situations?
There are, but they can get, like, pretty advanced. For the CLT, there are versions specifically designed for data with dependencies, like the Martingale CLT.
Martingale CLT. Yeah, that sounds like a whole new level of statistical wizardry.
Yeah.
What is a Martingale?
Imagine a gambler who's playing a fair game.
Okay.
Even though there are wins and losses along the way, their expected winnings at any point are always zero because the game is fair.
Okay.
That's kind of like a martingale. It's a process where the future is unpredictable based on the past.
So the martingale CLT helps us deal with situations where the data is connected, but there's no clear pattern based on past behavior.
Exactly.
Right.
It allows us to analyze situations where the changes in a process might be dependent.
Okay.
But the expected change is still zero given the past information.
So we've got these specialized versions of the CLT for dependent data.
Mm-hmm.
What about the LLN? Can it handle any dependence at all?
It can, but it depends on the type and strength of the dependence.
Okay.
There are versions of the LLN that work for what we call weakly dependent data.
So some degree of connection is okay.
Right.
As long as it's not too strong.
Right. There are specific mathematical conditions that researchers use to determine whether the LLN still holds up in those cases.
Okay, so we're moving beyond that initial assumption of independence. What's the key takeaway here for someone who's trying to understand all of this?
I think the most important thing is to be aware of the assumptions
right.
behind these powerful theorems. The CLT and the LLN are incredibly useful,
right?
But they're built on certain ideas about how the data behaves. So when we're dealing with real-world data,
yeah.
which often has dependencies,
mm-hmm.
we need to be cautious and consider whether adjustments or right. alternative approaches are needed.
So it's like a reminder to not just blindly apply these tools yeah. without understanding the context.
Exactly. A deep dive into any data set should always start with carefully examining its characteristics and thinking about potential dependencies.
That's a really important point. It shows how understanding the nuances of these concepts can lead to more informed and accurate analysis. It seems like there's always another layer to kind of peel back, right? We've gone from the basics of the CLT to all these different variations and the challenges of dependent data. It's a lot to take in.
It is, but that's what makes this field so fascinating. There's always more to learn
right.
and new ways to apply these concepts.
Speaking of applications, we touched on the Monte Carlo method earlier. Can you remind me what that's all about?
The Monte Carlo method is this clever technique
okay.
that uses random sampling to estimate the values of things that are really hard to calculate directly.
Right.
Imagine you want to measure the area of a really weird, irregular shape.
Like a splat of paint?
Exactly. Instead of trying to measure all the curves and angles precisely,
right.
you could like randomly throw darts at a board containing that shape.
And the proportion of darts that land inside the shape would give me an estimate of its area.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
And the more darts you throw, the more accurate your estimate becomes, thanks to the law of large numbers.
Right. Right.
The Monte Carlo method leverages that principle to tackle all sorts of complex calculations, from integrals in math to simulations in physics and finance.
That's really neat. So we're using randomness and the LLN
right.
to get an approximate answer that would be much harder to find otherwise.
Precisely. And the example from your source material is a great illustration of that. They used the Monte Carlo method to approximate the integral of a pretty complicated function. By increasing the sample size, they saw their estimate get closer and closer to the true value.
It's cool to see those theoretical concepts we've been discussing
yeah.
actually being put to use.
Absolutely. These aren't just abstract ideas.
Right.
They have real-world implications for how we understand data,
right.
make predictions, and solve problems.
So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive, what are some key things you'd want our listener to walk away with?
First, I think it's important to appreciate the power
right.
of the central limit theorem
yeah.
and the law of large numbers.
Yeah.
They help us see predictability
right.
in what initially seems random. And that's a really valuable insight.
Agreed. And we've also seen how crucial it is to be mindful of the assumptions behind those theorems.
Right.
Especially when dealing with real-world data where those dependencies are really common.
Exactly. We can't just blindly apply these tools without understanding the nature of the data we're working with.
Any final thoughts to leave our listener pondering?
We've mainly explored situations where the probabilities are assumed to be known, but what happens when those probabilities themselves are uncertain or changing?
Mm.
That's a whole other level of complexity that fields like Bayesian statistics and machine learning are grappling with. It's something to think about as you continue exploring the world of probability and statistics.
It sounds like there's always another deep dive waiting. It's been a fascinating journey, exploring the CLT, the LLN, and all the many ways they shape our understanding of data and uncertainty. Thanks for guiding us through this complex landscape.
My pleasure. It's always exciting to share these ideas and see how they spark new questions and insights.
And for our listener, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep. We'll catch you in the next episode of The Deep Dive.